That was the Forest Service theme song, because with me is Marianne Atwood, who is the public information officer up here at the Gunflint Station, and she's making noise already. Ooh. Go ahead, Marianne. She brought with her pet pileated woodpecker. And
is that legal?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Ooh. Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning. And how are you today?
Well, it's just fine now that you're here.
Oh.
So we asked you to come in and because we know that people sometimes say weird things. And you have a list of, well, you have several things, but we wanted to know about remarkable customer queries that people have to answer at the front desk of the Gunflint Ranger Station, or Coffee for that matter.
Exactly.
So what do you got?
So we have some of the very ordinary questions, like where can I see, fill in the blank, moose, wolf, bears? When's the ice going to be out? When's the peak fall leaves? When is it going to be snowing? So those kind always happen.
As if you're supposed to know all of
them. Exactly. Right. Okay. And we keep telling them if we could predict those things, we would, you know, be making a lot more money.
Yeah, you wouldn't be standing behind a counter, right?
But some of the other type, this one just happened the other day. How many canoes can I fit on my car?
Well, they didn't tell you what kind of car.
Kind of depends on the car.
How do you answer that?
You try to be very polite because we are all about customer service, and you will ask them what kind of car they have. Do they have a rack?
You know. And then you'll call up the car talk guys and ask them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right, okay.
Then there's the questions, are there raspberries and blueberries on the hiking trails? And when we respond, you know, when those are usually out, they wanted to know if they were real ones.
As opposed to?
I guess the ones we would put out for decoration.
Oh, okay. What they don't know is the government has a really big budget for plastic fruit. Right.
Well, and then you know, lots of latrine kind of questions. You know, will there be toilet paper at the latrines?
Now, these are the ones in the boundary waters.
In the boundary water latrines. And in the boundary waters, I saw some of the wilderness crew who were at the station early this morning, and they said they were asked, how do you pump out the latrines?
The question is, you go dig another one.
You
right?
go okay. dig another mm-hmm. one, exactly. Another gentleman this morning told me that he was asked, what do you do with the islands in the winter? Do you bring them to shore?
What? Oh, you can't be.
That was a direct quote from a wilderness ranger this morning who said this was the strangest question he had ever been asked. I guess they thought the islands were floating and in the winter you'd bring them in. You know,
kind of like the dock. Right?
Kind of like a dock. I'm sure that's what this person was. And again, we have interpretive programs during the summer that mm-hmm. are by naturalists. And someone, again, just last week was looking at the list of the different programs and then was concerned because they have small children. And they said, well, aren't naturalists nudists? So they thought the wilderness programs would be presented by somebody.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but I
know it's coming
to know that this week is Nude Recreation Week.
Well, maybe that will be happening.
I'm sure it does, as a matter of fact, in the Boundary Waters.
Well,
a nice warm sunny days.
Oh, yeah, it'd be perfect. Yeah,
right, okay.
So then a couple more here. They were rehabbing a trail, you know, and so they've got a lot of dirt that they're moving from mm-hmm. one spot to another to get that trail a little bit more flat or whatever they're doing to rehab. And a person came up to the wilderness ranger wanting to know, what's that brown stuff? And the wilderness ranger said, dirt. And the guy said, you mean you have to haul all that in with you? Which, of course, it's not being hauled in. It's just being
rearranged.
So those were some of the, and one that's actually a serious question. They wanted to know if we would check up on them if they don't come out of the wilderness on the day they say they were going to come out. Like somehow we could check 200,000 visitors and when they come out.
He said, no, we'll just wait till somebody reports and not
of course,
smell.
Exactly. Okay. And the important part about that is please to leave your schedule, your planned route when you're coming out with somebody back home.
Right.
Because we don't have an easy way to check up on you out there. It and is wilderness.
Do you do wake up calls?
We haven't had that one, but I really like that. I'm going to have to see. I really like that.
Well, with more and more smartphones and stuff, I'll bet you're going to get that request.
Oh, yeah. So those are some of those remarkable customer queries. But there's also sometimes people do things that are what I consider the better not to-dos.
Yeah, like?
Like, leave the fire grate where it is. People have been wanting to move the fire grate maybe closer to the water, or maybe the fire grate's on the flattest spot on the site, and they want to put their bed there instead. What happens is the fire grate gets moved, and one of the rangers was just telling me this morning, it catches all the little mossy things that are underneath on fire, and it actually scorched a rock. Thank goodness these people had a rock behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So leave the latrine too, where it is. But
don't go moving the latrine.
That's not a good thing either.
No.
When whittling or carving wood, because the wilderness rangers have found lots of things out there that people have whittled, carve away from your body. We had somebody come in who had a huge bandage on their hand because they were whittling towards the body. Not the
good.
Best plan.
No.
Let's see. Oh, resist the urge to, I can hop to that next rock. I can jump to that next rock. Those are slippery surfaces. We often have people come in showing us the goozles they have, the sprained ankles, the knees that have a big bump, because they thought for sure they could hop to the next rock.
Don't do that, folks.
Don't do that. Leave the macho man part of you at home. You know, if you get tired, if you get wet, if you're cold, those cold could be hypothermia. You don't need to be Mr. Macho or Ms. Macho.
Is that Machess?
Machess. Oh, okay. Oh, I like that too.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, this is helpful because somebody came in and said that they had a brand new tent and it was wrecked because what they had done is they pitched it under the white pines. And white pines on hot days rain down pitch. So they came in showing us, look at my tent.
They literally pitched their tent.
Oh! Ding, ding. Where's the hi-hat when you need it? And I know you guys talked about fishing and how people get, the hospital takes out all these fishing lures. So if you're in a canoe and you're fishing and you're in the bow and you're casting, remember the person in the stern. We had somebody who did that nice cast and cast it right into their canoe mate's arm.
Why'd you get out there, Wally? Did you get a Wally? No, I got Ed, as a matter of fact.
Oh, there's another,
I got an arm.
No.
And then this one is actually, if you wear glasses and you need glasses, be sure to bring an extra pair.
Right.
And I could actually tell a story about Gary Atwood, who, when we were canoeing once in, I believe it was Missouri, but it was a fast-moving body of water and it's hot, so he dunked under like you would when you're hot, and he came up without the glasses on, and we could not find them anywhere. So bring an extra pair of glasses.
And you're still wandering around in the wilderness, right?
Missouri, yeah. Never came out.
And then, you know, Kathy Quinn was saying this morning, pack light. You know, you don't need to bring some of the things that people have said they bring, which are Dutch ovens and kegs of beer and just things that are huge, and then the more stuff you bring, the easier it is to leave something behind or not pack it out with you. So pack light. And learn how to laugh when things don't go exactly the way you planned. Because
so I'm going to be in the Boundary Waters, I'm going to hear all this maniacal laughing on the island across from me. That's supposed to make me feel good, right?
It makes you feel good because you realize they're still enjoying the experience of the wilderness,
okay.
Even though it...
And then you're noticing that the island is floating towards you.
Floating towards you because there's a canoe pulling it, right.
Mm-hmm.
So you have something you do want to leave with us.
I do. As we were talking about being able to laugh when things don't go the way you are, I want you to remember the Friar, let's see if I have to get this right, the Friar Florists.
Okay.
Okay, friars being like monks, you know, religious men. The friars were behind on their belfry payments, so they opened up a small florist shop to raise funds. Since everyone liked to buy flowers from the men of God, a rival florist across town thought this was unfair. He asked the good fathers to close down, but they would not. He went back and begged the friars to close. They ignored him. So the rival florist hired Hugh McTaggart, the roughest and most vicious thug in town, to persuade them to close. Hugh beat up the friars, trashed their store, saying that he'd be back if they didn't close up shop. Terrified, the friars did close the store, proving that Hugh, and only Hugh, can prevent florist friars.
Smokies turning
That's clever.
Turning over in his okay. Yeah. Marianne Atwood.
Yeah.
Public information, if you want to call that. Marianne is probably going to take the woodpecker with her. But,
probably.
That's a. And there she goes, flying off into the distance.
Carried off by the woodpecker.
Okay. Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you, Marianne.
Public information officer.
That's
with
great.
Gunflint District.